His name to worship Him. We have come into this place, gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into this place, gathered in His name to worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Christ the Lord.
All together.
We have come into this place, gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into this place, gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into this place and gathered in His name to worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Christ the Lord. So forget about yourself and concentrate on Him and worship Him. So forget about yourself and concentrate on Him and worship Him. So forget about yourself and concentrate on Him and worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Christ.
Please stand.
How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the sons and the daughters of God. His beloved creation, that is who His Spirit has come into our lives and filled our hearts. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that Jesus should come and pay with his life at the cross. His redeemed creation, that is who we are. His Spirit has come into our lives and filled our hearts. How great his love, restoring us. How great his love, it's moving through us to change the world. How great his love, his boundless love. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that cold hearts can melt with mercy for all who are lost. His transformed creation, that is who we are. His Spirit has come into our lives and filled our hearts. Rescues us. How great his love, restoring us. How great his love, is moving through our hearts to change the world. How great his love, his love. How great his love, the rescues us. How great his love, restoring us. How great his love, it's moving through our hearts to change the world. How great his love, his boundless love. His boundless love. His boundless love.
Risen. Well, I would like a little... thank you. I was waiting for a little bit more enthusiasm. I got it from Paul. He is risen. Lovely. Ah, lovely. That's what we like to hear. I'm going to invite you to take part in a proclamation of Jesus Christ's Lordship. And it involves participation. And all I want you to say in response to what I'm going to say is, Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
And I'm going to ask you to match the intensity with which I speak. Can we do that? So here we go. Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Equal with God.
Jesus is Lord.
Emptied himself.
Jesus is Lord.
Came as a slave.
Jesus is Lord.
Found as a man.
Jesus is Lord.
Humbly obeyed.
Jesus is Lord.
Went to his death.
Jesus is Lord.
Death on a cross.
Jesus is Lord.
God raised him up. Gave him the name.
Jesus.
Higher than all.
Jesus.
Every knee bow.
Jesus.
All tongues confess.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
He is risen.
Jesus is Lord.
Thank you very much. We're warming up. We're warming up for our celebration this morning. Thank you to the songsters. Thank you to the worship band for starting us off this morning. We have come into this place to worship Christ the Lord. And we do so straight away in song. Up from the grave he arose. And I invite you to stand if you are able as we sing together. Indeed. And it's good to hear that you're... Yes, please take your seats. It's good to hear that you're in good voice. I can almost hear you over the band. I'm going to invite Brian now to come and lead us in a time of prayer.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but Felixstowe is a great place to be at Easter, isn't it? We start off in Holy Week. And then we've got a great service in the Triangle. Not many places in the world you can do that these days. And we had a great sunrise service this morning. Big thanks to the band, the worship band, and our songsters this morning. Will you join me in prayer? Almighty God, on this blessed Resurrection Sunday, our hearts shout with joy at the miracle of your Son's triumph over the grave. We stand in awe of the boundless love that brought Jesus from death to life, securing our hope for eternity. In humble adoration, we confess that Jesus is Lord. We believe wholeheartedly that you, O God, raised him from the dead, and through this belief, we embrace the precious gift of salvation. We thank you for this place, for the fellowship we share, and for the freedom to worship you, especially the Triangle on Good Friday, the pier on the sunrise service this morning. These moments remind us of the grandeur of your creation and the grace that flows as ceaselessly as the tides. We are thankful for the beautiful worship music brought to us by the band and the songsters today. We pray that you will bless our congregation here at the Salvation Army. Lord, strengthen our faith and deepen our understanding of your word. May our service this morning be a reflective time of sacrifice and a celebration of the new life which you offer. We pray for the peace in this troubled world. Lord, let our lives be a living testimony to your mercy. May we walk in the light of your love. Share the message of the cross with gentleness and respect, and serve those in need with compassion of Christ. As we leave this place of worship, may the joy of the resurrection remain in our hearts, guiding our actions and words. Help us to carry the peace of this holy day into the world, spreading hope like the dawn spreads light across the sky. In the precious name of Jesus, our Redeemer and King, we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Good morning. Right, children, why are we celebrating today?
Easter!
Hey, well done. Right, okay, we just leave it there. Right, thank you. I got my lovely assistant this morning. I think it's a fierce opportunity, this is. Right, where you going? Okay, so I've got quite a few things with me. What have I got here, Martha?
Bags.
Three bags, yeah. What else?
A bottle.
A bottle. What else have I got?
A cup.
A glass, yes.
A lighter.
A lighter. Oh! What am I missing? There's one thing missing. Come have a look. Come. What's this? What's this?
Plate.
A plate. And this is just an empty bag. Yeah? It does what? Give it a bit. Do you want to keep and help me? Yes, Matthew, but you just find that in a minute. Hold on. Here we go. I mean, Paul, you meant to help me, assist me here. Thank you. Right, there we go. And that's a tea bag, right? Yeah. Does that look like a tea bag? Have we got plenty of tea drinkers here? Yes, yes, lovely. That's a tea bag. What have we got on the top of the tea bag? Can you just take that bit off for me? What have we got on the top of it? Anyone know? A tag. A what? A brand. Yeah, it's a label.
It has a little cup on it.
Yes, yes, it has. It's the label of the tea. It tells you what kind of tea it is, doesn't it? It does, doesn't it? Do you know who else had label? Jesus. Some people called him what? What do people call Jesus?
Father. God.
The Lord.
The Lord.
The Messiah.
Messiah. Paul.
The light of the world.
Oh. Can anyone tell me when Jesus was crucified on a cross, what label did they put on the top? Oh, hands up here.
Was it King of the Jews?
Point there. Yes, it was indeed. Oh, did you know that? Oh, well done, you get more points. Next, what do we have, Paul? A piece of...
A string.
A string, yeah. Do you know what this reminds of us? Reminds us of when Jesus was whipped, didn't he? Just before going on the cross. So this reminds us a bit of Jesus being whipped, didn't he? That's what the piece of string reminds us of. And then inside... Once Paul has taken the string off, you can see the bit of hole in there. Can you see it? Can you see the hole in the tea bag? The holes, there's quite a few. But if you can see it, can you see it, Ally? It's a bit too far for you guys to see it, but there are little pieces of hole just there. Tiny little. Do you know what it reminds of? Jesus.
Yes. And what did he have in his hands and his feet?
Name.
Yeah. I'll go for the hole on his hand.
His hands and feet.
Thank you, Matthew. He did. And then inside the tea bag, there is...
Do you want to hold this for me?
Yeah.
I'm just going to get my water out. Hold on. I forgot to get a spoon. Never mind. Never mind. Right.
Jesus was on the cross for our sins, didn't he? So this tea in there, you can put it in there, Popo, in there. It's our sins. I forgot to get a spoon, so pretend that it's all the dirt and stuff, all our sins that he took when he went on the cross. He emptied it, didn't he? Now, this is the bit we'll see if it works. It just did not... The story of Easter does not stop on Good Friday, does it? Thankfully for us, today we celebrate the risen Christ, don't we? And as I like this, some people this morning went to sunrise services. I was going to go, but no one to look after the kids, so I had to stay home. No, I was. Because on a Friday, Paul said something very meaningful, and I'm like, ooh. Do you remember what you said?
It's not that meaningful. But my feeling about sunrise services... If Jesus can hang on the cross, I can get up at 5:30 in the morning.
And that's
a small sacrifice.
Yeah, and that got me. But no one to look after the kids, so I had to stay home. Otherwise, I would have gone up. But I'm going to light that to represent the morning when Jesus lights up, when Jesus was risen, and we'll see what happens. That's what Jesus did, didn't it, on this Easter morning. He rised up. And because he was risen, we rise with him, don't we? We also live in hope of being risen with Jesus. So this morning, as you go and have a cup of tea, remember that Jesus died for us. He was labeled the King of Jews, and he was whipped for our sins. And he took it with him, and he risen so that we may have life and life to it abundantly. So let us remember this when we have a cup of tea, or maybe coffee, but when we have a cup of tea, let us remember that, okay? Thank you very much, everyone, for helping me. Yes, what was that? You want to set on fire? Should we do it again? Okay, we'll do it one more time.
Ascension version.
We could do it, yeah.
Jesus rose
yeah.
from the dead, and a few days later he ascended to the Father.
Yeah, that's it. We're going to save the rest because these tea bags are quite hard to find, so we'll save it for next year.
As a Corps Sergeant Major, at this point I should say, in case of fire, there's a door enter. Welcome. If you're visiting us, it's not all crazy, but we love worshiping the Lord in our own special way. And you're very welcome to join us every Sunday at 10:30. After our worship, tea and coffee will be available, but there's no open air today, but the band and many of you joined with the Christians of the town for a great open air on the Triangle yesterday. So Easter holidays have started, so there's no sallywags tomorrow. So that means no tables or chairs, removable crowd required. So thank you for those who every Sunday make the hall ready for them. But today there's no need to do that. There's no band and songster rehearsals. And on Wednesday there's no friends together. But on Thursday there is a coffee morning here from 10 till 12. And the food bank will be open on Wednesday and Friday from 10 o'clock till 1. Can I just remind you of a date for your diary? April the 20th. At 10 o'clock, we start a spring cleaning the premises here. On the notice board, there's a list for you to let us know if you're coming. At the moment, there's me with a brush and Captain with a Hoover, and that's about it, but we're expecting more. So if you can have a look on your way out, then please put your name so you can help us. For more news and information, you will have received a newsletter. If not, make sure you get one before you leave the hall. It gives you all the latest news. Thank you for listening. God bless you.
Right, we're now going to listen to the band who are going to minister to us by playing Pardon Forever. Band. I think the only thing I was missing was a timbre, really, to just to go with that. Yeah, Healy's, you know. But thank you for that. It was a blessing to us to have you here. Now, the Bible reading. Thank you.
It's my pleasure to bring you the scripture reading this morning, which is taken from John chapter 20, 1 to 18. The resurrection. Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. She said, "They have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and I don't know where they have put him." Peter and the other disciple ran to the tomb to see. The other disciple outran Peter and got there first. He stooped and looked in and saw the linen cloth lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter arrived and went inside. He also noticed the linen wrappings lying there. While the cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying to the side, Then the other disciple also went in, and he saw and believed. For until then, they hadn't realized that the scripture said he would rise from the dead. Then they went home. Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene. Mary was standing outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she stooped and looked in. She saw two white-robed angels sitting at the head and foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. "Why are you crying?" the angels asked her. "Because they have taken away my Lord," she replied, "and I don't know where they have put him." She glanced over her shoulder and saw someone standing behind her. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. "Why are you crying?" Jesus asked her. "Who are you looking for?" She thought he was the gardener. "Sir," she said, "if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him." "Mary," Jesus said. She turned towards him and exclaimed, "Teacher." "Don't cling to me," Jesus said, "for I haven't yet ascended to the Father. But go and find my brothers and tell them that I am ascending to my Father and your Father, my God and your God." Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, "I have seen the Lord." Then she gave them his message. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word.
On Sunday, I gave you a glimpse into William's family life, and I shared with you a theological discussion that me and Martha had when she was trying to avoid bedtime. And she asked me why Jesus had to die. And I answered that question on Friday with this verse from 1 Peter. Jesus died once for all, for sins once for all, righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. So I thought that was quite a good method, and it's a method that we're going to employ today, but I'm bringing my own question. I'm bringing my own question today, and that is, why did Jesus rise again? And to answer that question, we're going to go to Romans, to Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 10, verses 9. And this is what Paul writes. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Hallelujah. Well, I think what I'm going to challenge you to do over the course of this message is memorize this verse. It's going to stay up there, and I'm going to read it once more. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. It's a wonderful verse, isn't it? It's a beautiful verse. It's a fantastic summary, really, in just a few words, of the gospel, of the good news. And I think also it's a fantastic kind of explanation of what it means to be a Christian. So if anyone ever asks you, well, what does it mean to be a Christian? Well, then you can say, I declare that Jesus is Lord. I believe that God raised him from the dead, and I believe that because of those things, I am saved. Great little verse that we are going to explore in a little bit more detail over the next 45 minutes or so. Jesus is Lord. Don't laugh. Jesus is Lord. It's one of those kind of sentences, one of those kind of declarations that perhaps has lost a little bit of its significance, a little bit of its meaning, a little bit of its punch, because we're so used to hearing it. Paul repeats that throughout his letters. And let's remember that Paul is one quarter of the writings of the New Testament. We've got this idea ingrained in our mind so much.
much. On the other hand also, we might kind of approach it very slightly negatively. Some of us might think of the House of Lords and think negatively of it. Some of us might remember the medieval feudal system and the lords involved in that and have a negative image of what it means to have a lord. Some of us might think of Lord Vader. And others, the younger amongst us, might think of Lord Voldemort and might wonder, why on earth would you want a lord? For some of us, the significance has been washed. For others, it may actually denote something quite negative. But we need to kind of dig a little bit deeper into what it means to have Jesus as Lord. What it means for Jesus to be Lord. And we have a fuller description in the letter to the Philippians. We're sticking with Paul, chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. And this is what we read. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And it seems strange, doesn't it? But this is what that short passage is saying, that Jesus, by submitting to death on a cross, is exalted, is lifted up to the highest place by God the Father. In other aspects of Paul's writing, we read that Jesus is lifted up. Jesus is raised to the right hand of God. But this is crazy stuff, isn't it? If we think about it, this is crazy stuff. It's upside down stuff. It does not make sense. Because why should someone who has been given the most dehumanizing punishment, someone that's been given the most degrading punishment, someone that's been submitted to the most kind of humiliation, is Lord? God the Father chooses, through these humiliating circumstances, through these degrading circumstances, through these dehumanizing circumstances, to exalt God, to exalt Jesus, to exalt his Son. And exalt, lift up, it means something very specific. It's given Jesus all the authority of God. Jesus, through that most debasing moment, is giving all the authority of God. So this demands, if Jesus is Lord, this demands our entire loyalty. We should have no other priority if Jesus is to be our Lord. In the Roman Empire at the time that this letter to the Romans was written, and Nero, that you all know about, and if you don't know about him, he'll probably be in some sort of a film this afternoon. But Nero, the Roman Emperor, was going very slightly mad, very slightly crazy, and he was calling himself Lord Nero. He was calling himself Lord of all creation, and he knew how to impose that on people. He knew how to impress that people through the kind of brutality that is imposed on Jesus Christ on the cross. Yet, in this upside down kind of a way, God exalts his Son. Jesus is Lord. Jesus commands our very loyalty. Not in the way that Nero imposes it through force and brutality, but the way Jesus does, through obedience and submission to his Father. What's particularly interesting here, and we must not gloss over this, but Paul, in writing to the Romans, does not just say Jesus is Lord.
He applies this very specifically to the Christians that he is writing to, these Christians that he knows. He applies it very specifically. And he says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, knowing that Jesus is not enough, conceiving of the fact that Jesus is Lord on an intellectual level is not enough. Paul is calling these Christians to declare it, to profess it, to shout it out to all who would listen that Jesus is Lord. But I think the most striking thing about Jesus' resurrection is it shows us just how far his rule, his power, and his lordship extends. Jesus is Lord, even over death itself. Jesus has dominion over death himself. We read that in the text. We believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead. Jesus' dominion, Jesus' rule, Jesus' lordship exerts itself even over death. And on Good Friday, I explained to you that in the created order, as God had created it, the rightful consequence of sin was death. We chose to go our own way. And in that order, there was no other way but to end in death. The consequence of sin is death. But I also explained, and we know that because it's the story of Good Friday, that though he was innocent, though he was perfectly innocent, the only man that could have been said to have been good without qualification is the phrase I used on Friday. Jesus died in our place. We understand that Jesus died so that we didn't have to bear the punishment that is rightly ours in the world as God created it in the beginning. But we know, of course, that the story doesn't end there, because Jesus rises. Jesus defeats death. Jesus gains the victory over death, and his dominion, his rule, his lordship over all things are reinforced through that. So it's not just that Jesus dies for our sin. It's not just that Jesus bears the punishment that it is rightfully ours because of our wrongdoing. He defeats death itself. He defeats the thing that is going to separate us once and for all from God. Without salvation, without Jesus, when we die, we die. On the cross, Jesus Christ died and defeated victory for those who believe in him. Another crucial point to remember, though, is that the fact that Jesus died and the fact that he rose again from the dead is the very basis of our faith. And we read here in 1 Corinthians verse 15, chapter 17. I should have prepared my notes better, but I didn't know I wanted to do this bit until I got here. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Jesus' resurrection is the absolute basis of our faith. It's the absolute basis of the hope that we have of spending eternity with God in a reunited heaven and a reunited earth. Jesus is Lord. Jesus has been raised from the dead, and we will be saved. I know absolutely nothing about maths. I'm absolutely terrible at maths. I was terrible at school. I kept failing miserably. So I'm going to try a maths analogy right now. And the accountants and the geeks among us are going to pick me up, I have no doubt. But to me, this verse looks like something like a bit of an equation. Looks like an equation. And it says two things. It says three things. The first term, is that the right term? The first term is, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, term one. Term two, and if you believe in your heart that he raised from the God, then the result of the sum, the result of the equation is that you will be saved. You will be saved. One of the most interesting things I find about the notion of salvation in the writings of the Apostle Paul is that he uses three tenses: past, present, and future. So salvation in the past points to what Jesus did on the cross. And I think we all get that. Salvation in the future points to the age to come when heaven and earth will be reunited and joined together, and the faithful will be raised. And we kind of understand that. And very often, we kind of live in the tension between those two things. But I think we often forget that this text, our text today, even though the tense used grammatically is future, it does address a present reality. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. Paul is not talking about a disembodied future. Paul is not talking about a heaven that is yet to come. Paul is talking about right here, right now. Jesus is Lord. He is raised from the dead. I believe those things. I claim those things. Then I am saved. And of course, what are we saved from? What are we saved from? Well, we're saved from the death that Jesus defeated on the cross. We're saved from that destiny that is rightfully ours. Some of you will have noticed the backdrop that's behind you, and I've overheard some discussions about it. Oh, what do you think about it? What do you think? Oh, blah, blah, blah. I've heard those discussions. It's really interesting. It's really fun. A few weeks ago, Simon and I were here setting it up, Simon Scott, and I even drew blood. That's how much has gone into this. But because I drew blood, we decided that we wouldn't put it away because we wanted to inaugurate this today. But why did we go for this thing? Well, we want people to feel welcome. So if we do forget to say welcome, and as I did today, well, then you know that you are welcome here. Welcome to the Salvation Army. But we wanted to emphasize this vision that we have for the core. And we see here fullness of life for all with Jesus. That's the vision of the Salvation Army in the territory in the UK, and we did look at that last year. And it's based on verses from John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 10. That's what we want, isn't it? That's what we want for each and every one of us. We want to know life, and we want to know it to the full. We want to know life, and we want to know it abundantly. And it's what we want for everyone that walks through these doors. We want life to the full. We want life to the max, as the Hawaiian Pigeon Bible puts it. And it's what we want for all the people that we meet. We want them to know life, and we want them to know life in all its fullness. So why do I say this? Because very often when we read that verse, you will be saved, we think of being saved from death. We think about being saved
from sin. But this is what I want to say this morning. We are saved for life. We are saved for life in all its fullness. We are saved to enjoy the fullness of our relationship with God. We are saved to know His love without barriers. We are saved for life. And we are saved for life in all its fullness. And this verse here, this wonderful verse, shall we try and do a little bit of a memorization exercise? If you declare with your mouth, join with me, that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. The clues to that life are there. If you declare that Jesus is Lord, you will have life. If Jesus becomes the supreme authority in your life, you will have life. You will have life in all its fullness. All the other things will become mere distractions. If you claim by faith that his death on the cross is effective for you, if you claim by faith that he rose from the dead, if you claim for yourself that death has been vanished, that sin has been banished and defeated, you will have life. Thank you, Dale.
It's the truth.
It's the truth. But this is what, I'm not going to go on. I'm not going to go on much longer because I had a problem today. I had a very big problem. I knew I had a message, but I wasn't sure I had a sermon. So we're going to stick to the message and we're going to pack things down. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. Not just from sure death, not just from sin, but you will be saved for life. You will be saved to enjoy life in all its fullness. You will be saved to experience life abundantly because Jesus is your supreme authority, your main priority. And because you'll be sure that his resurrection makes those things effective for you. Ben, I'm going off piece then, songs of leader, don't worry. But we're going to go back to that song that we began with. That song of adoration and of praise. And because I think that we cut the moment too short, didn't we? I had this vision in my head of just that lovely moment of adoration and just hit it with a bit of praise. But I think we might have lost something in it this morning. So I want us to go back there, Simon, if that's okay. We have come into this house. We have come into this place and gathered in his name to worship him. The only name that is worthy of worship. We have come into this place and gathered in his name to worship him. And I wonder, I'm not going to drag this out, but worship him. Declare with your lips that he is Lord. Declare with your mouth that he is Lord. Profess with your lips that he is Lord. And claim for yourself the assurance that his death and resurrection are a gift of life for each and every one of us. Life to the full. Ben.
We are God.
Is he your only focus? We are coming to this place. All names. Sat at the right hand of God, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. The one who gives you life. Life worth living. Let's stand if you are able. He's the Lord. He is our Lord. He's my Lord. I wonder if someone would pray, if someone would be led by the Holy Spirit in these moments to express our worship, to express our adoration of our Lord Jesus and Christ, Jesus Christ. Let there be freedom in this place right now to pray.
Lord, we can't imagine what we went through on Good Friday. We can't imagine that pain. We can't imagine that torture. We can't imagine willingly going to that. And so we worship you. We praise you for Good Friday. And we thank you that Friday only became good because of today. Because you rose. Because when the women went to the tomb, you weren't there, just as you had said.
Would another pray? It can be a simple sentence of praise and adoration. Worship him as your Lord this morning, our Lord this morning.
Worship you this morning because you are the King of Kings.
Amen.
Lord, we just thank you for gratitude. And dear Lord, we have not got words enough to say thank you for that sacrifice that we remember on Good Friday, the pain and the suffering that you went through. But Lord, we rejoice with you this morning because you rose again, as you said you would on the third day. You would rise again. And Lord, we give you all the praise and all the thanks this morning. And Lord, we just praise you for who you are and what you mean to each one of us. Oh Lord, if there's anybody here this morning who don't know you as their Saviour, Lord, may they give themselves to you this morning and thank you in the bottom of their hearts for dying for them and rising to give them life again. Oh Lord, may they not be going out of this door this morning without you in their lives. Amen.
Would another pray?
Father God, we just come before your throne this morning. Sometimes words fail us because we are so full of joy. Because yes, you did rise again, just as you said you would. But loving Father, I just ask you this morning that you will come here and you will fill each and every one of us with a new strength of power, that your Holy Spirit will come and fill us anew on this amazing day. Lord, we love you. We worship you. Your name is magnificent. You are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and Lord, we just stand in awe of you. Oh Lord, continue to work in this place. In Jesus' name, we ask it.
I invite you to take your seats, and as we continue reflecting on the significance of the events of this day, we're going to listen to the songsters, and in song they are going to portray to us the discussion that took place between Peter and Jesus. And Jesus asked them, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter responds, "You are my Lord, the Christ." We listen to the songsters now in this proclamation of the Lordship of Jesus Christ.
Question.
Thank you, songsters. I almost feel like leaving it there, but it wouldn't be fair for you, because there's still another song to be sung. And I'm going to invite you to join together in singing Thine is the Glory. So I invite you to stand if you're able as we sing together. I send you now. Go now as those who have met with Christ in the morning of this day. Go now as those whose hearts have burned within them, as the scriptures were explained. Go now as those who have been touched by resurrection. And may the blessing of God be upon you, body, mind and spirit, as you leave this place. Amen.